All right. Well, amen and amen. God is good. Man, there is nothing quite so cringy as watching yourself in a video. So I'm glad that I am not alone today. Kenneth and Jonathan had to suffer through it with me. So praise God for you guys. Thank you for your part in that. Hundreds of people are going to watch both of the videos that we've shown today with the name release of this church and with that celebration of the launch of this sermon series called Immeasurably More. And that's exciting. People are going to see that God is up to something new, and they're going to get to celebrate it even as they are challenged to participate in it. Well, good morning, church family. I hope you're well today. If you've got a Bible, and I hope that you do, Ephesians chapter 3 is where we're going to be. So open up to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 20 and 21 in just a few moments. But before we get there, I want to do a couple of things. I want to just first of all tell you, like, I am so glad that you are here, and I am so glad to be a part of what God is doing in this church. I'm excited to see where he's going with us, where he's going to take us, and what this journey of Immeasurably More is going to look like. Real quick, if you are visiting with us for the first time, or as I've said in weeks past, man, if you just are looking for a conversation with your pastor and you want to get me on the phone sometime this week and talk to me, then grab this card that's in the pee pocket in front of you and fill it out. Give me your name and your cell phone number. If I already have your information, you can skip that, but just jot down on the card what you're looking for, and I'll give you a call. If you are visiting with us, give me some information so I can reach out to you. I want to hear from you about your time in our church and what the Lord is up to in your life. Also, in the pews, there should have been just a couple of copies of this right here, and I'm going to say more about this toward the end of our time today, but real quick, this is the prayer card that we're going to use to kind of kick off our series Immeasurably More today. My friend and one of the members at Liberty Baptist Church, Laura Prater, who's a remarkably talented artist, painted this picture of the front of the church, and then on the back side of it, you can see it's got prayer points and stuff like that. So here's what I want to do. I want to encourage you to make sure you get one of these. There are some extras on the pews around the room, and if you did not grab one, then just come find me and I will get you one. I want this on your refrigerator, all right? Or wherever you feel like putting it so that you'll see it, on your bathroom mirror or on your pillow, I mean, just whatever, because I want this to remind you to pray for the work of God here at the church. So grab one of those and definitely put it somewhere that you'll be reminded. Man, can I tell a story for just a few minutes before we begin? It was 2023, last year, and Liberty Baptist Church was praying and seeking the face of God for what it was that he wanted us to do in the year 2024. We always try to come up with these one-year initiatives, right? These things that we can dedicate and focus our energy toward for like kind of a one-year goal, you know? And so Pastor Tim, 2023, he went on sabbatical, and he got to take the month of July off, and so he was away from the pulpit. Myself and one of our other pastors, Kyle, filled in for him and took that time, and he just kind of retreated and got away with the Lord and sought the face of the Lord and said, Lord, what do you want us to do? What do you want us to be about? See, 3 years before that, Liberty had gone through a process of kind of redoing its vision as a church, trying to find out and answer the question, what are we ultimately here for? Like, why has God given us what God has given us? And how can we go forward into the next season, you know, with his strength and being about the things that he wants us to be about? And so we did a lot of work in 2020, and we released that work in 2021. And I don't know if you remember this or not. It's a long time ago. There was something else that happened in the year 2020. It was called the coronavirus pandemic, right, all around the world. And so, man, when we like set out to do this vision work and to get ready to unveil it to our church and prepare then for the work that God was calling us to do, here comes the pandemic right into the middle of it. And here's why that matters. We believed that God was calling us to leverage the influence that we had in order to multiply that influence into our community, okay? And initially we saw that through like expanding into a multi-campus approach as a church. So we were going to launch different campuses and surround and saturate the city of Chelsea with gospel-centered influence. And so we really expected that like we'd launch that and people would get all excited about it and we would move forward together and it was going to be great. And then COVID happened And about half of our church disappeared, right? We were like, man, where'd these people go? It's okay, they'll come back. And the month went by, and some came back, and others did not. And then 6 months went by, and they still did not come back. And then we're a year down the road, and it was like, okay, I guess it's time to just accept the fact that we're a different church now and see what God has in store for us. So we did that, but those 3 years go by when we're in that vision process, and a bunch of other things happen too. You can come talk to me, and I'll tell you the whole story another time. We go through all that vision process, and we're trying to see what the Lord has in store for us. And 2023, it's like, man, things are good. We're growing as a church. We're seeing some new life, baptizing a lot of people, lots of new members. But we feel like it's time to step into something. We just don't know what it is. And so Tim goes on sabbatical. He's praying. We're praying as a staff. Lord, what is it? What do you want us to do? And Tim comes back, and here's the phrase that had captured his heart. Two words: immeasurably more. Immeasurably more. What does that look like? What does that mean? We don't know yet. You know, we're still trying to figure that out. But what he was sure of is that it was time for us to kind of pull back on some of the specific ambition that we had had as a church to launch multiple campuses and to be open to other opportunities as God presented them. Let me give you specifically exactly the words that we rolled out to our congregation in, this is October of 2023. Okay, remember, we went from multi-site, multi-campus kind of approach to this is what we said. We will pray, work, and trust God for greater gospel transformation in 2024 that begins with surrender and results in greater discipline, right priorities, and a whatever it takes willingness to live out the gospel mission. Specifically, here's what we said. We want to see God multiply our ministry through expansion opportunities as given by God. October 2023. In November, not but 2 weeks after we rolled that out to the leadership in our conversation, I'm sitting at a table alongside of our worship pastor and one other guy, and Rick Camp is across the table telling us, hey, there's this church in Alabaster that might be looking for a replant and some help. And that's what kicks off this whole process of watching God do immeasurably more here at Southside Baptist Church, becoming Quarry Church, and moving into the future. Why do I tell you that story? Why do I tell you that story? Because ultimately, brothers and sisters, this is God's work. And you and I get to be a part of it. Now, there's like the really exciting portions of the journey and the process that we look forward to and we grab onto and we're all about. And then there's the nuts and the bolts, right? And the things that we've got to tighten down and the cleaning that we've got to do and all those sorts of projects, okay? And so what I want to challenge you to up front here is that as we talk about immeasurably more and we link that to what we're going to kick off this month in a capital campaign, a fundraising campaign, I don't want you to lose sight of the fact that this is a work that God started and it's a work that God invited us to participate in. So what we're talking about today and over the course of September is how God wants us to participate in. But don't lose sight of the fact that this is ultimately his mission, his kingdom, advancing through you and me, right? So Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. If you've got that passage open in your Bible, or if not, it'll be up on the screen. Let me invite you to stand all around the room as we read it together. You follow along and I will read. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to the church in Ephesus, and here's what he says to them. At the end of a section about his ministry and all the things that God has done, he wants to get a little bit of glory. And so in verse 20, he says, Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Lord, ultimately what we are doing here is pursuing your glory to the ends of the earth. Through this work that you've started at this replant, and going into the future, chasing after you and running to the light that you have shined on the path in front of us. Lord, help us to remember that it's all about your glory. It's all about your kingdom advancing. It's all about people coming to know you and love you and be discipled to follow you. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on that as we pursue you for immeasurably more. This is my prayer this morning, and also, Father, that you will move me out of the way and say what you want to your people today. I pray it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Have a seat. All right, so real quick, let me just give you a brief bit of context about Ephesians chapter 3 as we kind of dive into the passage. And what we're going to do today is we're going to be like heavy on teaching through the passage in the first little bit, and then we're going to kind of move to where I'm going to apply this into the season of the campaign that we're launching this month. Okay, so hang with me as I do that. But Ephesians chapter 3, Paul is writing to a church that he loves and he holds dear. He's very excited about what God is doing in Ephesus, and he's writing to them. And true to fashion, like, Paul kind of has a model for how he likes to write his letters, right? You know, when he writes a letter to a church, he's going to spend the first little while of that letter telling them, here's the gospel. Here are the things that you need to believe, right? And he's going to walk out what we call doctrine in the church, okay, or theological teaching. So he rolls those things out. Like Romans is a great example. Chapters 1 all the way through 11 really rolls out the theology of the gospel. Paul breaks it down for the Roman people. And then he makes a pivot, a turn, where he continues to teach them about their faith, but he tells them, now, because you believe these things, here's what you need to do differently, right? And there's something there that we need to hang on to, so just write, this is for free, it's not necessarily part of where we're going today, but always remember that, brothers and sisters, ultimately, being a Christian is about first believing the right things and then becoming a new person that God has created you to be. It always begins with belief. You cannot behave your way into the person that God wants you to be. You believe what God has spoken over you and what he calls you to do, and then you behave differently because he gives you the power inside by his Spirit. Does that make enough sense? So Paul has spent the first two chapters of Ephesians telling the Ephesian people about who they are supposed to be in Christ. And then at the beginning of chapter 3, he wants to make that pivot, right? So chapter 3 is kind of a bridge. He wants to pivot to telling them about the things that they need to do differently because of the consequences of the gospel. But Paul is a preacher, right? And he gets distracted. And I don't know if it's like fair to say that, like, Paul is, you know, I mean, he's a brother in Christ, obviously, but he also wrote a whole lot of the New Testament. He is better than me in every way. I get distracted, though, and it just seems pretty clear to me from chapter 3, the evidence here in front of us, that this is what happens. He says at the beginning of chapter 3, for this reason, because of everything that I've said in chapters 1 and 2, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, and he's about to say, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father and pray for you. But that's not what comes out next. What comes out next is a great defense of his ministry to the Gentiles. And so he spends the next 13 verses walking through, like, this is who God has called me to be. This is the ministry that he's given me to do. He's telling them all about it. And then, verse 14, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named. And then he walks out this prayer that he prays over the church at Ephesus. And it's a really, really beautiful prayer. But at the end of it is where our focus passage comes from today. And at the end of it, what he does is he ascribes glory to the Lord God. Because ultimately, everything that he's talked about, everything that he's addressed, there's only one reason why it's happened. And there's only one reason why it's going to continue to happen. Because the God who is able is going to make it happen. And because of that, the God who is able and going to make it happen is worthy of glory and honor and praise. So with that in mind, let me walk you through just some quick points about this passage. First of all, if you've got sermon notes and you're following along there, here's number one for you. First of all, two fundamental convictions. And the first one of those is pretty simple. It's this: there is no limit to God's ability. There is no limit to God's ability. I think this is one of those moments where it's really neat to read from a bunch of different translations to get the idea of what Paul is saying. Like, we latched on to actually the New International Version's expression of immeasurably more. Here's what God can do. God can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. The CSB that I read from this morning says God is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, right? The New Living Translation, NLT, says God is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than all that we might ask or think. The ESV, he's able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. The good old King James Version, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I actually like the way the Message puts this. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. That's pretty good. And then I had to pull one more out for you. I don't know if you've heard about this. I would not encourage you to use it, but somebody has come out with a Gen Z Bible, right? A Bible that uses the language of Generation Z, which if you know anything about is pretty magnificent. And so here's what it says. To the one who can do way more than we could ever imagine or ask for because of the amazing power at work within us, let's give props to him in the church. All thanks to Jesus forever and ever. Amen. And to that I say, amen. It's neat to hear the way that different, you know, thinkers and different Bible translators have captured this phrase. The point is the same in all of them. God can do a whole lot more than you think he can. Like, as big as you imagine for God, he can do that, and he can do way beyond that. Because it's not just the biggest thing that you can imagine God doing, because your imagination's not big enough. God can do immeasurably more than everything that you could think or imagine. You guys have heard me say this. Like, right now in my life, I am in a season where, like, I perceive my inability probably greater than I ever have in my entire life. And I'm not necessarily talking about replanting a church. Like, that's item number two on the list. Item number one on the list is parenting. Man, parenting is so stinking hard to do well. Like, you just feel this awesome responsibility of, you know, the journey that these kids get to have. And it's like, how am I supposed to do this really well? There are these moments all the time where I think I'm not doing enough at all. Or even when I do more, I'm not doing good enough. And listen, by the way, parents, that's not what it's about. We talked about that last week, right? It's ultimately about pointing your kids to Jesus and trying to keep them alive to the best of your ability. Like, it can be reduced to that. But you see what I'm saying? Like, there's this struggle of inability that I have within me. Now, certainly I feel that as well when it comes to pastoring in general, but to replanting a church. I don't know how to do this. Like, I hope that you guys don't go through your Monday through Saturday thinking, like, Brian's got this. He knows what he's doing. And if you do, then please fill out that card and give me your phone number so that I can call you this week and explain to you the questions that I have. Like, I'm having a blast. But more than I ever have in my life, I fall to my knees and I say, God, I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. I don't have the answers. I don't know what next step to take. I don't know what we need to do in this situation or that situation. Have you considered the fact that God has never felt that feeling? There's never been a moment where he's thought to himself, I don't know if I can make that happen. Because he always can. The only thing that God cannot do, and we know this because of his word, is he can't change his character. Like, God is who he is, and that can never change, because if he changed his nature or his character, then he would cease to be God, right? So he wouldn't be God anymore, because God does not change. His word tells us that he can't lie and he cannot change. You know, his word tells us that he's faithful, so he can't be unfaithful, or else he would not be God. His word tells us that he can't lie. So he always tells the truth, because if he lied, then he would cease to be God. That's the only thing that God cannot do. And that's not a problem of inability, by the way. That's just a problem of, we call it ontology, right? It's just who he is, and he cannot change who he is. If you want, by the way, a mental exercise for the afternoon, then here's what you can do. You can spend your afternoon considering the question, can God create a rock that he is not strong enough to move? All right, so just do some mental gymnastics throughout the day and get back to me when you discover the answer to that one, because I still have not. In all of this, it's important for us to remember that God has all ability. You know, I think of, like, especially with our youngest right now, with Louie. There are many moments when Louie finds herself incapable of doing something. And these are not, like, grand, complicated things, right? This is, like, she can't get the zipper pouch to open, okay? And I'll watch her, and it's crazy because while she's learning, help is not but 10 feet away. But you guys know this. What does she do? She tries to get it herself, and she can't. And she gets so stinking frustrated, and before you know it, she's, like, lost her cool. Like, she's slamming the zipper purse on the kitchen table and just going, I can't do it. And it's so hard to watch as a dad, because you're 10 feet away, you're looking at her like, hey, baby, all you got to do is say the word. Daddy, can you help me? Bring it over here. Is that hard for me? Zip. No. Brothers and sisters, it's the same thing with the Lord. Do you think, I mean, he looks at us, we are his children, right? And he looks at us in these situations of complication and inadequacy and inability that we have. He looks at us and he's like, I'm right here. You can't do it. I can. I've got all the power that you need. This is who he is. Our God is able, and there is nothing that is ultimately beyond his ability. And here's one of the reasons why he likes for us to reach out for his help, brothers and sisters, is because at the end of the day, he wants to get the glory from it. Like, when you and I come to him and we say, God, I can't make this happen, but you can, and he responds and he answers that prayer, our most natural response is to brag on our Father, isn't it? And to say, look what God did, right? Some of you have testimonies of this in your very life. You point back and you can say, look at what God did, and God gets the glory for it. And this is where Ephesians 3, 20 and 21 goes next. It's that God will take the credit because the next little subpoint on your notes is that there will be no end to God's glory. There will be no end to God's glory. Look back at verse 21. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. See, it's when God, when the Trinity, like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you know, got together, they determined the plan of redemption where Jesus would come as a man and he would die to pay the penalty for our sins, and he would be raised to new resurrection life, and then he would command his disciples to go and make more disciples out of the entire world. The whole point of this is that there would be a people from every tribe and every tongue and every nation who would sing God's praises in their language. So every time you and I get together, that's what we do. We open our mouths and we sing. We sing God's praises and we tell about his glory, because this is the point. This is why you were made. You know, he put lungs inside of you to breathe in oxygen that he provides all around you. And then to stir that oxygen through your vocal cords out so that it makes a joyful noise, beautiful or not, makes a joyful noise and goes forward into his praise. That's why you have lungs. That's why you have lips. That's why you have a voice, because all of creation exists to celebrate the glory of God. One of the, like, teaching documents of our brothers and sisters in the Presbyterian Church, which, you know, most of them are pretty great people. Like, you know, my dad used to say we'd stick around the Baptists because they're the only ones that are going to heaven, which is not true. But anyway, one of the teaching documents of the Presbyterian Church, an early one, says, it asks the question, what is the chief end of man, right? Or what's the primary purpose of humanity? How would you answer that question? Think about that for a second. What is the primary purpose of humanity? Well, here's how this document, it's called the Westminster Confession of Faith, by the way. Their answer is this: to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's pretty good, isn't it? This is why God made you. This is why God made me, to glorify him and enjoy him forever.
Now, it's really important that in this moment, friends, I take a second and say, hey, there's only ultimately one way to access that true purpose that God has for your life. You cannot do it on your own. Through Jesus and the sacrifice that he paid for your sin, where you have rebelled and gone against God, that's the only way that you can access that primary purpose of yours, which is to give God glory and enjoy him for eternity. But that's it. Summed up, that's what we were created to do. And so here we are. I mean, have you ever thought about this? I don't know how far we are, by the way, right now. And I probably, maybe this is something that I should know off the top of my head. I don't know how far we are from Jerusalem in Israel, right? Where Jesus was crucified, where he was laid in the grave, where he rose again on the first day of the week. I don't know how far we are from that. But I know that we are at least a tremendous ocean separated from those things. And we don't speak the language that those disciples spoke. But here's what I do know. This morning, you and I got up and we put on our Sunday best. And we came here to sing truths about Jesus who lived and died in Jerusalem across the ocean, across the world. And we sang those truths in our native tongue of English in order to celebrate God's glory and proclaim him. And I just think that's pretty cool, because to me, that means that what Jesus set out to do, it's happening, and it's going to continue to happen. So the point of all of this, don't lose sight, is ultimately to glorify God and see his kingdom advance. That is why you are here today. Because decades ago, some people in this community decided there needed to be a church here where God's glory could be proclaimed and could be sung. And throughout the decades, there are you faithful members who have been here who have done just that time and time again, right? And now, in a new season of our church's existence, we're going to continue that push of seeing a church here at this location among this people to celebrate and sing and proclaim God's glory until one day he comes and returns to us. Because of all of this, friends, today, as we launch this sermon series called Immeasurably More, it's important for you to know that, point number two on your sermon notes, we have one God-given, God-sized ambition. One God-given, God-sized ambition. And that is this: a gospel partnership between two churches that includes the replanting of one of those churches and a campaign to fund that work of replanting. Right? Again, don't lose sight. This is all ultimately to see God glorified and to see his kingdom advance, so that people in this community will hear the love of Jesus, will be drawn to him, will believe in him, and then will, having discovered the primary purpose for their life, will launch outward to glorify him with their lives as well. That's why we're doing this whole thing. And so here's what we're going to do on the backside of this sermon. I'm going to give you the nuts and the bolts for what this gospel partnership and what this capital campaign looks like. And I'm going to do it in three subpoints of that one main point, our God-given, God-sized ambition. Okay, here's the first one: the vision for the future. The vision for the future. And I think first on the list of what we need to see as we look into the future, we wonder, God, what are you up to here, is a healthy church. A healthy church here among this people. And here's why: because God's desire for his children is that they would abide in him. And that in doing so, they would tell more people about his love, and those people would abide in him. A healthy church, so that people can hear about the good news of the Lord Jesus, can be drawn here because of your invitation, right? When you say, hey, come worship with me, come go to church with me, come and see what God is doing in this place, they can be drawn here. And because it's a healthy church that's preaching the gospel and that's living faithfully to what God calls it to, because of that, those people have a chance to respond to that gospel and surrender their lives to the authority of King Jesus. So a healthy church, because God's desire is for us to abide and because the world needs the gospel. Second on that list is a growing church. Not just a healthy church, but a growing church. Sorry, not the next blank yet. We'll get to that in just a second, I promise. I know I've got like subpoints and it gets all complicated. It does up here in my head too, by the way. A healthy church and a growing church. Because listen, brothers and sisters, God's desire is not just for us to abide. No, the whole point of us abiding is that we would bear much fruit. Right? So it's, listen, this is really important for us, especially those of us that in the Bible Belt of the United States of America have gotten so comfortable with how good our faith is going. The point of the branch attaching to the tree trunk is not so the branch can enjoy its life on the tree trunk. It's so that the branch can do what it was designed to do and bear fruit. Friends, there are a lot of churches, and I mean a lot of churches, that are really enjoying hanging out on the tree trunk. They haven't borne fruit in a decade or two decades. They've been stagnant because ultimately it's about, here's the way that we catch it when we talk about, you know, churches advancing, is it's us four and no more. We're happy. We just want to come and we want to sing the songs that we've been singing for years and years, and we want to hear the message that we've heard for years and years and years, and we want to be encouraged in our faith, and we want to be, and listen, there's nothing wrong technically with those things, but if it becomes all about us, we've missed it. And I don't want to be a part of that church. I want to be a part of a church that looks to its community and says, the reason God placed us here is to reach them with the good news of Jesus. That's the kind of church that I want to be a part of. So not just a healthy church, but a growing church, because God's desire is for us to bear fruit. And listen, yes, you're going to hear a lot about numbers over the course of our time together, right? But numbers have names, and names have souls, and souls matter to God. And that's not just my language. You heard Brother Kenneth say it just like that in the video. But last, not just a healthy church, not just a growing church, but a multiplying church. Because God's desire is that we, his community of disciples, would be one, united together on a mission to see the world believe and turn to Jesus Christ. Because God's desire is that we would be one, and because ultimately, friends, one healthy church is not enough. That won't get the job done here in Alabaster. That won't get the job done in Shelby County. It certainly won't get the job done in the state of Alabama or the United States of America or to the ends of the world. One healthy church is not enough. And so we need to be a multiplying church so that we can fill the world with God's praises. That is the vision for the future. But second, and you can throw it up there now, Matthew, if you've got it, is the plan for the project. And you've heard us walk through this, hopefully, if you've made it to one of the, you know, the capital campaign meetings that I did, and I talked you through how this is going to work. But ultimately, we are going to do a two-year capital campaign, right, where we're going to focus our energy over the course of those 2 years to giving above and beyond what we normally do through tithes and offerings in order to fund God's work at this replant, and then in order to free our sister church for greater gospel impact. Two churches, Liberty Baptist and Corey Church, working together in order to accomplish this goal. So 2 years, and we move into that at the end of this month we begin. And I'll share more about that as we get a little bit closer. But here's my heart. Here's what I want to see over the course of the next 2 years. Brothers and sisters, I'm asking you for total participation. I don't know what you can give. I don't know what your family can do. I don't know what you have. I don't know what the Lord has enabled you to give. But I know that you can give something. And man, that might be the change that you have laying around your house. Again, that's it. That's fine. I'm not asking for, and we're not asking, the leadership at Liberty here, the leadership here, we're not asking you to starve yourself in order to see this campaign go forward. We're asking you to sacrifice to see it go forward. We're asking you to, and I'm asking myself in this as well, we're asking you to say no to some things so that we can all together say yes to this thing, right? So I'm looking for sacrifice, and I'm looking for commitment, where you're willing to say, like, man, in some cases, I don't know exactly how I'm going to make it happen, but I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask God to provide for me so that I can participate in his work, and I just believe he's going to do it. I'm just going to step out in faith, believing that God is going to do it. And so, yes, asking you to join with me, with my family, to go above and beyond in order to contribute to this capital campaign. Let me show you something real quick. There's a picture that's going to go up on the screen. This is called a giving tree, okay? Our goal is that across 2 years, we will hit $1.8 million raised for the replant and then to eliminate the current debt that Liberty has, which is like somewhere around $600,000, and then to load up a fund called God Whispers at Liberty so that they can be prepared for their next missional piece that God calls them to, okay? Let me explain real quick. The first $1 million comes to the replant so that we can accomplish some big renovation projects and get ready to welcome the community here onto our campus as we worship the Lord and make disciples here. After that, we start eliminating debt at Liberty until that number's gone, and then whatever is raised above that goes to that fund called God Whispers. Now, in order to make $1.8 million happen, that's a lot of money, right? And so again, what I'm asking you for is not that you starve yourself and your family. I'm asking that you contribute in some way. This is one way that we could make $1.8 million happen. Now, if there's a person in here who has $100,000 lying around to give to the campaign, man, that's awesome. And hey, props to you. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. You just do your thing and let the Lord work through you, right? But ultimately, if we see those people with those kinds of contributions, then we will be able to hit this goal. Hey, I know that looking around in this room, it's like, man, that's tough. But I promise you that if we, together with our sister church down the road, if we participate in this, then I really think that God is going to be glorified by what we hit through it. And it may be 1.8, it may not be. I'm fine either way. I want to see us sacrifice and commit to this project together. Okay, that's, again, I'm not asking you to do anything that my family's not doing. This is how we're going to participate as well. And so if you have additional questions about this, you can ask me at a later time. But write down or remember in your mind 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. Really, the whole chapter 9 is excellent, and you should read it as we launch into this season. But Paul is talking to the church in Corinth, and he says, hey, listen, here's the point. The person who sows sparingly in the field is also going to reap sparingly in the field, while the person who sows bountifully in the field is going to reap bountifully in the field. He's not just talking about farming. He's making an illustration about giving. And then he says, here's what I want you to do. Whatever each of you has decided in his own heart, that's what you should give. And you should do it cheerfully, not out of compulsion, right? Nobody's forcing you to do this. Nobody's twisting your arm, because God loves a cheerful giver. See, if we spend 2 years in a capital campaign and you miss out on the spiritual journey that's offered to you through this two-year time period, man, you missed it. And just to be, let me be really frank with you, I wish that you had rather not participated. Because ultimately, your money is not what I'm after. My money is not what I'm after. I'm after what the joyful exercise of radical generosity can do to your heart and my heart. That's what I'm after. And that's what you should be after as well. So, we are going to ask you to pray as we ramp up to this campaign. And that's why, remember, I mentioned this card to you at the beginning. I also want to invite you to come back at 3:20 this afternoon. As I mentioned in the email, we're going to have a prayer time here at this campus. Everybody from Liberty's been invited as well. If they can't make it out here, then they're still going to be challenged to pray at 3:20. And what I'd really love for us all to do is, as an expression of unity, I would like for each one of us to set a reminder, either in your phone or however you prefer to do it, that every day at 3:20 in the afternoon, you're going to pray for God's work through the campaign and through the replant. Every day, 3:20 p.m., If you want to do 3:20 a.m., you can, but you're on your own. 3:20 p.m., you set aside time to pray for God's work through the replant. There's prayer points on the backside of this that you can use, but I'm asking you to pray. Then I'm asking you to prepare and to get ready to give on September 29th. That's going to be our commitment day. Again, I'll give you more information about that at a later time, and then to participate. So pray, prepare, participate. We're going to start this thing this morning. The last blank on your notes is this, the prayer for God to move. Brothers and sisters, this is ultimately a movement that is too big for any one of us to handle. Listen, I can't make a church grow. You can't make a church grow. You can be faithful to do what God has called you to do, to make disciples and to bear fruit for the kingdom. But you and I do not have the strength that we need to make a church grow, or to make a church multiply, or even to make a church healthy. We don't have it. All of that power comes from God. It comes from His Spirit. So today, I'm asking you to ask for it. We're going to go into a time of response. I'm going to invite Trey and the worship team to come back up as we get ready to sing and to respond. But here's what I want to challenge you to do. I want to challenge you to spend some moments in dedicated prayer. You can use the prayer points that are on the back of the card. And I want you to ask God to do immeasurably more. Ask Him to blow your expectations for what we're going to see here at Quarry Church in the future. Ask Him to blow your wildest dreams of what the gospel could do in the community of Alabaster. And I'm asking you to do it now. There may be some of you that want to come up here to the front and you want to spend a moment kneeling down at the front of the stage. We can make this an altar for this time. And we can ask God to do immeasurably more here at the front. And if the Lord stirs you to do that, then come on. But more than anything, what I want you to do is spend time praying for immeasurably more. And then as you feel led, use your voice to do what it was made to do and glorify God through the truth of the words that we are singing. But in this time, let's respond to what God is calling us to do. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for this time and ask now that as we come to you and we ask you for immeasurably more, I pray that you will move in this place. I pray that you'll challenge us to be sacrificial. I pray that you'll challenge us to be committed. I pray that you'll challenge us to be about your glory. Lord, I pray that you will go beyond our wildest dreams of blessing for this church, this gospel partnership, for the replant, for the elimination of debt and liberty, for the preparation of our churches to move forward into what you have for the future. I pray that you would blow our wildest dreams and that you would do something so incredible in and through us that the community around would look at us and have no choice but to say, man, something is different there. God is surely up to something in their midst. That's what we want, Lord. So, Lord, we're praying that you would do it. And now, in this time, we come to you and we ask you for immeasurably more. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.